Like to say good morning to everyone. We are very thankful to have each and every person on, especially those who are visiting with us from other congregations or not members of the Church of Christ. And we are so thankful to have you participating in our worship this morning. We ask you to open your Bible, Acts chapter 14. We'll be studying from the book of Acts, continuing our study there. If you're visiting with us, again, we want to thank you and want to remind you that we believe in the Churches of Christ, that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you got to believe this book called the Bible. You got to obey what's written in it. We believe Jesus hung, bled, and died on the cross. He gave a command after dying that shameful death. Man would believe and be baptized, he would be saved. Mark 16:15-16. That's what you must do to be saved. You need to do that. Another thing you need to know, that Jesus died for his church, one church, the only church in the Bible, and that is the Church of Christ. This morning, he opened the door of faith. He opened the door of faith. That will be my emphasis for your note takers, the door of faith. Let's pick up in Acts chapter 14, in verse number 8. The Bible says there sat a certain man of Lystra, impotent in his feet, being crippled from his mother's womb, who had never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, perceiving, notice that, he had faith to be healed. The door of faith had been opened to this man, and he obeyed the gospel. Paul and Barnabas, in Acts chapter 14, and verse number 27 through 28, is there what we, in your hearing that we read this morning, and when they had come and gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. So Paul is rehearsing at the end of this chapter, men like this who obeyed the gospel, who the door of faith will open. God had opened the door of faith. Let me explain the door of faith. It was open to the Gentiles. The Jews heard it in Acts 2. And then Peter went to the Gentiles, Cornelius, and there God opened the door of faith. What you mean by that, Brother Brooks? Meaning that he preached the word of God. Faith that saves coming by hearing by the word of God. And that faith will save those who will obey, those who believe the word of God. Because God has opened that door, and sounding from this door is the word of God when it's preached. And Hebrews 11:6, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. That he to come to God must believe. And this is who going to be saved. Those who believe the voice from the door of faith, which is the word of God. Now, Paul said to this man in verse 10, stand up on your feet. And he leaped and walked. And when people saw, they saw a miracle. Back then, they saw a miracle occurring while Paul was preaching. But they responded to what they saw. And they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lyconia, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. So they seen this miracle, thinking that Paul and Barnabas were some type of god. And since Paul had healed this man, performed this miracle, these people thought some god had come down in the likeness of men. Listen to verse 12. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Now they heard Paul as the chief speaker, and they called Barnabas, he must be a god from Jupiter, and Paul a god from Mercury. Now this is the response of unbelievers. Those who do not believe will not hear the preached word of God. And that's what happened in the world today. That many people who say they believe in God, they can say it all they want to, but until they hear the voice of God from the door of faith, they will not obey. Notice what these people did. The priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen, garlands, unto the gates, would have done sacrifice with the people. Here's a priest that represent the false teachers of the world. The false God is preparing to make a sacrifice of worship to Paul and Barnabas as gods. This is the same kind of stuff going on today, where people will give reverence and bow down to men, kissing their feet, rather than listen to the voice of God coming from the door of faith. Watch how Paul and Barnabas handled the situation, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their clothes and ran in among the people. Can you see them crying out? See, men who respect God's word will not allow people to put them on as if they're some kind of God. The actions of these people have disturbed these two preachers. It disturbed Paul and Barnabas to the point they're running in and crying to the people saying, wouldn't it be a great thing today if men were disturbed when people call them reverend, father, or a doctor? Wouldn't it be amazing that preachers would be so respectful to the word of God that they would turn their clothes and run into the people and say, you are not to call me nothing but a brother? Yeah, listen to what these people saying. What Paul said to these people. They ran in, Paul and Barnabas, in verse 15, and saying, why do you these things? Paul said, hold on, what are you all doing? We are also men of like passion with you. We're just men, and preach unto you that you should turn. See, when the open door of faith is preached to people, it's not that they're going to turn because they heard it. It's they should turn. That's what Jesus said in John 3:16, which is so often misquoted. Even by some of our preachers misquoted. It said, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Notice this. Watch it now. Whosoever believes in him should not perish. See, people should not perish if they were hearing the voice of God coming from the open door of faith. Paul said, we preached unto you, you should turn from these vanities unto the living God. Which tells me that Paul had preached against this type of stuff. He said, you need to turn to God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. Here, what Paul says, why are you doing this? Why are you all doing these things? Why can't people see this today? Why can't they see this today? All these vanities of nothing. Taking and believing things that are not from the door of faith. Amen. If the apostles were disturbed by these type of actions, all preachers should be disturbed when someone called them father. Why? Because the open door of faith. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 7 through 9, Jesus said, call no man father, in verse number 9. Verse 8, he said, you all brethren. It should disturb a man to be called father. It should disturb a man to be called reverend, because in Psalm 111 verse 9, the open door faith shouts out, he sent redemption unto his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Notice what the door faith reveals. Holy and reverend is God's name. Men should run to the people that are bound down to them. Here's my question. Why are people doing these things? We also like men. All of us who preach the word of God, like men, we are trying in the churches of Christ to preach unto people about this type of behavior, denominationalism, which is vain worship, doctrine and commandments of men, which is vain worship. Listen to Jesus in the door of faith. He opened the door of faith, the voice that comes from Matthew 15:8. This people draw nigh to me with their mouth, honor me with their lip, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandment of men. The door of faith is open. It's speaking loud that we should not be caught up in doctrines and commandments of men. In Mark's account, Jesus said in Mark 7:7, howbeit in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For the laying aside the commandment of God, notice this, you hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many such like things. And he said, full well ye reject the command of God. You're rejecting the voice of God. You're rejecting the open door of faith that you may hold on to your tradition. I ask all listeners today who are in denominational churches, who are following me, why aren't you listening to the open door, the voice that's coming from the open door of faith, and turn to the living God, which made heaven, earth, sea, and all things that are in. Turn from vanities and commandments of men, following men, and doing and go back to the open door of faith. Follow Jesus when it comes to his voice, when it comes to what you must do to be saved. When men say baptism is not essential, why don't you listen to the open door of faith? In Mark 16:15-16, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not, he that believeth not what? He that believeth not the voice from the open door of faith. It's open. It's sounding. Turn from people who are teaching you things like pray the sinner's prayer, when the open door of faith says in John 9:31, God hear it not sinners. Turn from division, which is okay, where people are saying, attend the church of your choice. It don't matter what church you go to. Won't you listen to the voice from the open door of faith? 1 Corinthians 1:10, Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and there be no division among you. This is what Paul is saying. This is coming from the open door of faith. Ladies and gentlemen, America needs to turn from vanity, the traditions, and doctrine and commandments of men, and go back to the Bible, which is the open door of faith. Let's go back to Acts 14. Who in times past, verse 16, suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. God did that. In time past, God suffered all men to do whatever they wanted to. Now in Acts 17 and verse 30, then the Bible says there, in a time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Brothers and sisters, members of the Church of Christ and visiting friends, it don't matter how much you talk. If you don't change, you're not going to go to heaven. If we're going to make it to heaven, brothers and sisters, we're going to have to repent and make change in our lives for the sins that we have done. We have to change. If you're visiting, you got to get out of those churches where that are not written in the Bible. You got to stop doing things that God did not command us to do. In the churches of Christ, we sing without the help of mechanical instruments of music, because an open door of faith. It says in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing. That's what comes from the voice of the open door of faith. That in worship we sing, we pray, we will preach the word of God to you. Understand this. We are to take the communion every Sunday. Acts 20 and verse 7. If you're in a church, you're not taking communion every Sunday. You have not heard the voice from the open door of faith. Upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 tell us they took election. Acts 27 tell us that they took communion. If you're in a church that don't take, they'll take your money every Sunday, but they won't give you the opportunity to commune as we done this morning and take the Lord's Supper, you have not heard the voice from the open door of faith. You need to repent. You need to repent and come out of that and obey. And to members of the Church of Christ, if you've fallen away, if you've left the truth, if you've been unfaithful to worship, if you're not giving right, if you're not living right, here's the thing about it. God has, he winked at ignorance at one point. Ignorance is no excuse. Ignorance is no excuse. We know what we're doing in our lives. We know who've been faithful. You know if you've been faithful to the Lord. But God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. Members of the Church of Christ, we are not exempt. There's no certain thing as once saved, always saved. We better learn to hear the voice from the open door of faith. We better learn to love one another. We better learn to quit gossiping and whispering and backbiting. We better learn to follow the word of God, be led by the Spirit of God, which is coming from the open door of faith. All scripture is given by the inspiration of the breath of God. That's how he gave it to us. He gave it to us in scripture. God speaks through his word. Well, let me tell you something. You can speak, you can talk to people till you're blue in your face. If they're not going to believe in the spoken word of God, which is given to us by God, it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, to instruct in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:16 and verse 17. What I'm saying to all of us listening, if you're a member of the Church of Christ, this applies to us. We got to let the word of God work in our lives. We got to let it correct us. We got to let it reprove us. We got to let it instruct us so that we can make heaven our home. The open door of faith, the voice that comes from it, is the voice of God. God is not going to come to your house and tell you anything. He's not going to come in your in late night and whisper in your ear. You have to hear what comes from the preached word of God. Barnabas and Paul were preaching. That's what they were doing. They were preaching. The open door of faith is the preached word of God. When men and women, boys and girls, will use their ears to hear the preached word of God, then they will receive it with meekness, James 1:21, and it will save their soul. Why do people do this? Why do that? Why, you say, why will so many people be lost? Because they will not hear the voice from the open door of faith. And Brother Stroud and I both, when he do it in the afternoon, I do it in the morning. What we're doing, you all, throughout the week on the gospel call, what we're doing, highlight, is we allow the open door of faith and the voice of God to go out into all the world as commanded by God. And we don't exempt ourselves. We are included in that. Brother Brooks is included in this command. Brother Stroud is included in this command. But what we do together, we hold to the scripture. We speak where the Bible speaks, and we're silent where the Bible is silent. Why? We're men of the book. We believe in the open door of faith, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I'm drilling it in your head this morning that the open door of faith is the preached word of God. People will be baptized if they believe the voice from the open door of faith. I'm talking about the Bible. If people will not be in any church if they believe in the open door of faith and the voice that comes from it. I'm saying to all of us, if we're on this call, even members of the Lord's church, we cannot get to heaven unless we hear the voice from the open door of faith. See, we can listen to ourselves too much sometimes, but the Bible says in Proverbs 14:12, the open door of faith comes from it. It said, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, and the end thereof are the ways of death. See, that's what I'm saying. I want to encourage all the members of the church. I know we want our friends and family to be saved. We want visitors to be saved. We want everybody we want to meet. We should want them to be saved. But understand one thing. Understand this. If you don't get, you should not be discouraged because a person won't obey. It saddens us that they won't obey. But you should understand this, that if a person will not receive the word of God in their own mind, if they don't believe it, you can't make them believe. People have to decide to believe this book because God has opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Now, all of us can hear the word of God. We can believe it, and God leaves it up to every individual. No matter how much I love my mother, how much I love my dad, how much I love my children, they have to develop their belief system based on what they hear from the word of God. The best thing we can do for our children is to bring them, whether they want to hear it or not, whether they want to be at worship with you or not, is to take them and let them hear the word of God, because the power is in the preached word of God. It's God's open door of faith. Let's go back to Acts 14 and verse 18. And with these things, scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice of their. Paul and Barnabas could barely stop these people from worshiping these men, from this vain worship they was involved in. People will follow anything. People will follow, and it's happening today. It's happening all over the world. People just buy into anything. Men can say, they call themselves men of the cloth. As long as they believe in God, God. The people just listen to them, and they will never open their Bible to find out what these men are teaching them is true. The Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and they searched the scriptures daily. Understand this, brothers and sisters. We cannot get caught up in who is preaching. It should not make you a difference to you whether it's Brother Brooks or Brother Stroud. What should matter to all of us is what God is saying to you as we preach his word. That happens too often. It happens. I'm not saying that. And I understand there are some preachers who can't reach you because of their particular style or something. And I tell people all the time, Brother Brooks' style doesn't reach you. You're not there because of me. You're trying to hear what God has said. And if you're going to hear the word of God, you can take something from no matter who is preaching, as long as they are preaching true, you can hear the voice from the open door of faith. Don't follow anything. Don't get caught up on who. Get caught up on what they're saying. That's important. That's important. Now, there are some people in your life who will be influential, that you will respect. People who, the man of God who you heard the first sermon from, to change your whole life. Certainly you have some loyalty to that person. But it's not because of the person. It's because of what I heard that day. In my case with Brother Thomas Foster, not because of Foster, but what he preached that day was a sermon that changed my life. And when he went to the cross, and when he said, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the cross?" And when he preached the cross to me, and I heard it, and I believed it, and I made a decision that day on March the 31st, 1985. I'd never forget that day. But what was coming from his mouth was the preached word of God. And I responded to that. 36 years later, I'm still in it. Still in it. So I have a loyalty to the first person. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being picky about who is preaching versus what they're preaching. That's what I'm trying to get us, encourage us not to do. Not to get caught up on who, but get caught up on what's coming from the door of faith and the word of God being preached. Look at this in Acts 14, in verse number 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people. There will be people in our lives that will try to persuade us not to believe the voice of God, not to accept what's being said, not to believe what's being preached. We got to remember that can be our own friends, our own family members. That can be one who will try to persuade you. Nah, it don't matter what church you go to. We all believe in Jesus. We all going to be in heaven. You can't listen to what they're saying. That's coming from the mouth of a man, the mouth of a woman, the mouth of your friend, family, the mouth of your friends, the members of the church. Oh, it don't matter. People say, oh, it don't matter when we bass micing or we beatboxing or we praise dancing. We all serving God. We all praising God. That can come from the mouth of other members of the Church of Christ who want us to be liberal. They want us to just believe whatever we want to believe and worship however we want to worship. You know, but it's unfortunately, it's not a handful of us that still hold to this truth in the Houston area. Even in the Houston area, there are many congregations of believers like us who say they believe in Jesus Christ. They say they believe in the Church of Christ. But they have left the New Testament pattern of worship. Holland Heights, listen carefully. as a minister, as a man of God, who preached to you from this open door of faith, I will never participate in things that are not found in the Word of God. Why? It's the open door of faith. That's the only voice that instructs us when it comes to the way we live. It instructs us in the way we worship. Do everyone have a choice? Certainly they do. Did the Jews have a choice? Yes, they did. Were they trying to persuade others that they were okay doing it the way they were? Yes, they were. Are there going to be people in the Church of Christ going to try to persuade us that we're too conservative? I say, well, you can be too conservative. I agree with that. You can be too liberal. I agree with that. But you cannot be too scriptural. Because when you're scriptural, everything you do in worship, everything we do and say, we must have the voice of God endorsing it. That's coming from the Word of God. What should give you great joy as members of Hollow Heights is that you cannot say that we have took away any or left any of the New Testament pattern of worship. That's what we're going to be known for. That's what we're known for all over this nation. It's on our front page of our website that we will not leave that. And I say this because I know there are members of Church of Christ who listen to us from congregations that are doing these things, and you need to be warned and need to be aware that that didn't come from the voice of God. The open door of faith is for those who are not members of the Church of Christ, who are not worshiping according to the doctrine of Christ, who are caught up in doctrine, commandments. I mean, that's our visiting friends who are not members. But this same door of faith do not teach us that once we're saved, we're always saved. We, as members of the church, must not allow other people to persuade us that what we do, and if we leave, we just have been doing things according to tradition, and it's okay to do other things. That's unacceptable. The only thing we follow is from the open door of faith, the faith that cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Notice what happened with Paul. And this is what we have to understand, and I take it, that's okay. There will be criticisms. In this case, they're trying to even kill Paul for standing up for the truth. And this is not a pat on the back. It is an encouragement to everyone. When you have a preacher who will stand bold and preach without additional subtraction, that's a man like Paul. Paul is giving his life, willing to give his life to stand with the truth. And notice this. There's going to be something to come with that. And to all the young men on the call who desire to be preachers and elders in the Lord's church, understand that criticism comes. In this case, stoning came to Paul. We don't see that in America. But we will have a lot of criticism. I've had it. People who say things like, well, the funeral is not the time to preach the truth. Brother Brooks, that's not the time to tell people what to do to be saved. Well, I beg to differ. And I'll take what comes with it. If you're a preacher and you decide you don't want to, that's okay. But that blood is on my shoulders. And every time I have a chance to stand before lost souls, I'm going to preach in love from the open door of faith. And my technique to do that is to preach in the house of mourning. Because the Bible teaches, in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. You think I'm going to try to convince other preachers to do this? No. That's a choice. But when I see people, I see lost souls, and they make my only chance to tell them what to do to be saved? You can do that without being mean. Go listen to some of my sermons. Not being mean, but am I telling the truth? Yes. May people get upset at it? Probably so. Will people say that's not the time? Many do. But nobody will stand with me but me. I will stand before God. And God warned through Ezekiel. He warned through Ezekiel and every, I'm talking to all people on here who consider themselves critics of those who stand with the truth when they should be standing with the truth. When they don't understand what it is to preach the truth and the value of souls, what God did was gave his only son to die for the people. He died to save souls. And the angels in heaven rejoices over one sinner that repent. Jesus offended people when he was preaching. Why? He was preaching the truth. The truth offends, especially those who don't want to receive it. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, God told them, it is better to go into the house of mourning than the house of feasting. That is the end of all means. And the living will lay it to heart. When people are at a what we call a funeral, they're in a state of mourning. And the Bible is teaching me, the open door of faith says, sorrow is better than laughter. See, people won't listen to God when they're laughing. But when they're in a state of sorrow, he said, by the sadness of the countenance of the heart is made better. And the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools in the house of mirth. It is better to rebuke the wise than for the mean. See, here's the thing. What's better for us is that God put us in a state of mourning that we may hear the truth. Have you ever thought about how when someone in your life dies, it makes you really start thinking about your own life? That's by design. God did that for that purpose. Think about it. It makes you check yourself. It makes you check yourself. That's what death is supposed to do. Make us check ourselves. So, when we start thinking about the Word of God, the Word of God is like a sword. It cuts. It cuts. And the Word of God is quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing and dividing the soul of the soul and the spirit and the joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. The Word of God is designed, when that voice comes out of that door, is to go through our ears into our heart. And when a person is truly seeking truth, they will not be offended, as Peter did on the day of Pentecost. They that gladly received his word were baptized. Do you think that everybody that day was happy with what Peter preached? Absolutely not. Are they happy and glad that Paul preached to them this day? No, they were not. They're going to try to stone him. They're going to try to kill him. And what I'm saying is, there will be people who persuade you to think differently. But everybody understands something. What God said through Ezekiel, and this is where I take my position. Chapter 3 and verse 17. Son of man, I made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth. There it is. The word out of my mouth, and give them warning from me. Now, am I going to comfort people with this word? Yes. Am I going to teach people with the truth with this word? Yes. Am I going to warn people at a funeral date, you got to get their life right? Absolutely. This is commanded by God. Commanded. When I say unto the wicked, he said, they shall surely die, and they give not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life. Notice this, here come the penalty. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But God told Ezekiel, his blood I will require at thy name. I don't want that. You know, we heard a song, and you've been in the church a long time. You saw me day by day. You knew I was astray. But you never mentioned him to me. That would be a sad comment to hear on the Day of Judgment. Man, I was there that day. And you didn't even tell me. I don't want that. And then God's going to look at me and say, why didn't you tell him? That blood, I'm going to regard your hand. But then in verse 19, yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turned not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, and thou hast delivered thy soul. See, my soul is at stake if I don't teach people. My soul is at stake if I don't tell them about the one church. My soul is at stake if I don't tell them to be baptized. My soul is at stake if I don't tell them what comes from the open door of faith. What I'm doing this morning is encourage you to understand that there will be people who persuade you, try to persuade you differently. And if you are a preacher, or if you are a man who stands before a lost audience, remember that you will answer to God. I tell ministers to, it's best that you don't get into preaching if you're not willing to preach the truth to people. People's souls need to be saved. Look at this, what happened, Paul. Verse 18 as a close. Having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead. See, people ain't going to die. You ain't going to die until God says so. They thought he was dead. He's not dead. He's not dead. No one's going to die until God says so. Here, howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up, came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. He's not dead. Notice this. Watch what happens. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. When they had done what? Preached the gospel to the whole city, taught many, they left, confirming the souls of the disciples, identifying them who had become disciples of Christ, exhorting them, look at what he did, to continue in the faith. And that's what I'm exhorting the members of the church today. You can get caught up in emotionalism. You want them hallelujah sermons. But when you are continuing in the faith, it's talking about learning how to live the Christian life, coming from the door of faith. God gave us the word. The Holy Spirit is what guided the apostles and prophets to write the scripture. John 16:13. Jesus said, I be, when he, the Spirit of truth, shall come, he will guide you into all truth. And we have to learn and continue to follow the teachings of Christ, to stay in the faith. See, if Paul exhorted them to continue the faith, that means they could leave the faith. They could discontinue. And we know they did. Some did. And Paul told Timothy that the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. They will leave what the preached word said do. Brothers and sisters, stay in the faith. Stay in the faith. Stay studied up. Get on every call you can. Learn as much as you can. Follow the scripture. Faithful living will come for those who are listening to the voice from the open door of faith. Listen, it's in that we must, through much tribulation, notice this. He didn't say it was going to be easy. He said through much tribulation. You think Paul enjoyed that stoning? He didn't. Do we enjoy going through the tribulations that we go through in this life? Absolutely not. No one want to be sick. No one want to be a caretaker of those they love. No one want to be in abusive relationships. No one want their family to talk about them because they're obedient to the truth. They're members of the true church. We don't want the tribulation to come with that. But Luke records that we that continue in the faith must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Much tribulation. We must expect as children of God. Now I'm appealing to the members of the church who will continue in the faith. Maybe you're getting discouraged. Or maybe your head is down and you've gone through a lot of stuff in your life. Or maybe you've lost a loved one. You're grieving. Or maybe your mother is sick or your family is sick. And you're pre-grieving. Or maybe you're going through trials and tribulations in your life. Remember this. That what Luke is teaching us, as long as we continue in the faith, we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. All of us got to bear the cross. We don't know from day to day what the phone call is going to be. We don't know what the doctor is going to say. We don't know what life is going to present to us. But we can be assured, and we must prepare our minds, that in this life, we must expect tribulation. Paul told him in Romans 5, and not only so, we glory in tribulation also. Because the tribulation worketh patience. God sends us through things so that we can have an experience. And we can work through patiently waiting on God to get us through the situation. And when he gets us through it, we patiently have worked on it. And now we take that same experience, the experience of losing a child, the experience of losing a brother or sister, the experience of going through troubled times in marriages and homes and families, the experience of living in a world of turmoil, racism, ungodly behavior, evil things that people are doing today. And I'm talking about that Wednesday night, if you know our Bible class, how evil seducers will wax worse and worse. It's not going to get better. So I said, let's pray that the world gets better. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. We're going to go through more. That's why the open door of faith is what you need to have in your life. This is why we have to listen to the Word of God. And you look on TV, a drunk driver can hit a mother and kill all the children. Then I think I heard that the brother of the son lost his children. Then somebody, because the child spilled water, did somebody shoot him? Y'all heard that? Shoot that baby. 6 years old, I think it was. He said, how could somebody shoot a child with a gun for spilling water? Imagine what that family is going through. Imagine to lose three grandchildren, to be a mother who loses her child and her three grandchildren. Be a father who loses his wife and three grandchildren. And then another child who in the same family. Imagine that. Yeah, here in Houston. I don't know what you're going through, but you could probably can say, man, I'm going through some stuff myself. I know you are. So am I. So we all having tribulations. We all dealing with things. But it's the open door of faith that's going to get us through. That's what I'm trying to say. It's the word of God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He said, this is a light affliction for a moment. Life is short. Man, at the age of 61, I'm telling you, I'm like, man, I'm 61. I'm like, wow. Time is flying. Time is fleeting. We're on the downside. 60. If by reason of strength, 80. This life is just for a moment. But can you count the amount of tribulations you've gone through in life? Can you reflect on them, where you are today, and what you've gone through? Can you give God credit for bringing you through those things? We must expect trials and tribulations, but they are for a purpose. It's to strengthen us. It's to give us experiences to help other people. And in Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible teaches us there that we must endure chastening. We must endure chastisement. Things are going to go on in our lives. But it's for our good. So I'm encouraging each of us to stay in the faith. You may get weary. You may fall. Or you will get weary, and you will fall. You will have setbacks. You will have trials. You will have tribulations. But the reason on this call is that I'm putting in your ear the word of faith, which is given to you by God. So expect, as you continue in the faith, that you're going to go through some hard times. Let's close. In verse 23, when they had ordained elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord, in whom they believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And notice this in verse 25. And when they had preached the word, well, there it is, the open door of faith, in Perga, they went down into Italia, and then sailed to Antioch, going back to Antioch. You know, Antioch was where they were called Christians first in Antioch. They went back to the first Gentile congregation that's now mixed with Gentiles and Jews. God called them first in Antioch, Christians first in Antioch. And so Paul and them go back to where they were sent out, Acts 13:1, Acts 13:3. They sent them, the church of Antioch sent them out to go and do this. And they're returning, reporting to them that they did. Once they had been recommended by the grace of God for the work which they had fulfilled. So my goal, as Paul was, is to preach and fulfill the charge. What's the charge? Paul told Timothy, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. Preach the word. Be us in season, out of season, reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine. But he themselves, teachers, having itching ears. People don't want you to tell them the truth, y'all. They want you to tell them what they want to hear. But understand, as I've said earlier, as Paul does, as Barnabas does, They knew they was under charge. They knew they had to give account, and they had to take or come with people who don't agree with what they're doing. But God told, Paul told Timothy, they would turn away their ears from the truth and turn on the fables. And he told this young man, I'm in 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5, watch thou in all things, what did we tell him? Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. Why? I am ready to be offered. In time by the fortunes of him. Paul said this about himself. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Watch what he says now. I have kept the faith. What are you saying, Paul? When the door was open to me, I obeyed. Can you say that on this call? When the door is open, did you hear the voice of God? But Paul told Timothy, what you do is just preach the word. And that's what I'm going to do. And when they preached, they went back to Antioch and they told the congregation there, when they were come, had gathered the church together and rehearsed all that God had done with them. They gave credit to God, which we should do. We should give credit to God for the responses from his word. His word won't come back void. It's people that are going to obey it, but we're going to give God the credit. We can give Paul the credit. We're giving God the credit. They gave God the credit. You know, here it is, where I got my title. How he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time with the apostles. Paul, God used Paul. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God was given to me to you word, by the revelation he made known unto me in mystery. Know what it is. I wrote it in words. When you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men. And is it now revealed to the holy apostles and prophets, notice who by the Spirit. The open door of faith came by the Holy Spirit. It is that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body. That body means church. Gentiles and Jews would be in one church, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach, there it is, among the Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the principalities and powers and heavenly places might be made known, notice this, by the church, that's us, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, whom we have boldness and access with confidence, notice this, by the faith of him. It's all about faith. Where does that faith come? By hearing. Hearing by who? The word of God. What is the word of God? The open door of faith. I remember Jesus said in Revelation 3 and 20, as I close, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, sup with him, and he with me. See, our heart is considered a door that we must open. See, it's not going to be God. It's going to be God that we be lost. It's going to be us. because we didn't open our hearts to receive it. We didn't open our minds to receive the voice of God. He opened a door, and his voice comes from the door. And Jesus said, I stand at your door and knock. If any man hear them ears on your head, my voice, and open the door, I'll come in. And I'll sup with him, and he with me. In Matthew 11, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, learn me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So the message this morning is, God, when God opened a door of faith to Gentiles, the whole world has been given the opportunity to be saved. But would be nobody going to heaven that don't firmly believe in Christ or this open door of faith. It is God that opened the door of faith. He opens to us the truth we are to believe, even if it hurt our feelings. Our hearts must be open to receive the truth. We have reason, you all, to be thankful this morning that God has opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. All of us who are not Jews, he opened it. And he sent to us, he gave to us his word that we can hear. We've never seen it, but we can hear from the word of God. His love expressed through that door. From the door of faith comes the voice of love. Who is that? That's God. God is love. Nothing comes from that door but love. And that love warns. That love comforts. That love guides. That love instructs. It's the voice of God that's going out to the world. And it's going out this morning as I speak his words. It's going out. And this gospel, this word, this door, nobody can shut it. Jesus said, I'm the door. He said, and no man can enter without him. In other words, you can't go in to heaven through another way. And John 10:1, as I close, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, he that entered not by the door of the sheepfold, but climb it up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that enter in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him porteth open. Jesus is telling them in verse 7, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And all that ever came before me a thief and a robber, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. Verse 9. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pasture. How do you understand this? The New Testament is called the doctrine of Christ. That's what Jesus speaks directly to us. He said, I'm the way. In 2 John 9, John says, whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, and not God. He that abide in the doctrine of Christ have both the Father and the Son. So what I'm seeing, summing it up, I'm talking to first to those who are not members of the Church of Christ. The door of faith says this. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The open door of faith says that Jesus came and lived among men. And they cruelly treated him, and brutally murdered him, beat him with a whip, put a crown of thorns on his head, hung him on the tree of the cross with nails in his hands and his feet. the door was nailed to a cross. And they nailed him there. And it was him. After he got up, after they buried him, he resurrected. It was him who said, his word said this in Mark 16, 15, go into all the world, preach this gospel, this good news that I gave my life for them. I shed my blood that washed their sins away in baptism in Revelation 1, 5. I shed my blood that purchased the church that wore my name, Acts 20, 28. That name is Church of Christ. He said, go preach the gospel to them. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So that's to the visitors. You got to hear the gospel. Acts 15 and verse 7. And believe it. Hebrews 11, 6. You must repent of your sins. Luke 13, 3 and 5. You must confess Jesus to be the Son of God before me. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. You must believe and confess with your mouth your belief that Jesus is the Son of God. Acts 8, 37. Then you must be baptized as commanded. Where did I get this information from? It's shouting out to you from the door of faith. If you believe it with all of your heart, then you won't question it. You will obey it. You will be baptized and become a member of the true church. You can read about it in your Bible. That's to our visitors. If you want to do that, you hit 5-star. We're getting ready to sing the invitation song. We'll take your confession on this call. We'll ask you, do you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God? You order that confession, all these people listening, there's a lot of people on the call this morning, and you could say that, and they would hear you, and you have confessed before me, and we will take you and baptize you no matter where you are in our listening audience. We'll get you to the waters today, and you're not saved until you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1:5, Acts 22:16. You have to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. You have to be washed in baptism, Acts 2:38. Baptism for the remission of sin. Then the Lord, Acts 2:47, will add you to that one church, which is the church of Christ. And then the members of the church. The second invitation is to you. Jesus is calling you to come home. If you've left the Lord, if you've fallen short, as Paul exhorted them to continue in faith, so is Brother Brooks. I'm exhorting you to repent, to make your confession that you've fallen, to come back in the fold, to make sure you get your life right with God. If you're going through trials, if you're going through tribulations, the Bible teaches us that we are to go through those things. What we are to do now is have prayer. We can pray for you what you're going through. I don't know what you're going through. I know there's somebody on this phone going through something in your life that's traumatic, that's painful, that's trial, testing your faith. The Bible said the eyes of the Lord over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. We want to pray with you. If you have need this morning to be baptized, get 5-star on your phone. We will respond. If you have need this morning to repent, to restore back to the kingdom, to come back to the Lord's church, or just repent of your sin, if you have need just for us to pray with you because of what you're going through in your life, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. God is still on the throne. He's still listening. And the Spirit and the bride is still calling. The Spirit and the bride says, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take up the water of life freely. Jesus is calling. Revelation 22:17. Will you come?